Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and let's get into the word of the Lord this morning. I want us to begin reading in chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to skip after verse 1 and 2. Then we're going to skip all the way to verse 26, okay? So chapter 1, verse 1, starting there. We'll skip to verse 26 and 27. And the scripture reads this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. Going to verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let's read verse 27 one more time. It says, "So God created man in his own image." I want you to say his own image. In the image of God, he created them. I want you to say image of God. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And I want to speak with you just for a few moments this morning on the image of God. The image of God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning. I do pray, Lord, that you would help me, Lord God, to be able to minister your word, even, Lord God, without the distraction, Lord God, of this bloody nose. I do pray that it would cease, it would stop. And Lord, I thank you for the power of your word and for healing. Lord, I do pray that, Lord, your word would come forth with clarity. And I pray that, Lord, you would speak and make known the beauty of your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. The image of God. This portion of scripture in Genesis chapter 1 rehearses the creation story. Chapter 2 would also continue another version of the same. Chapter 1 is more concise. Chapter 2 delves into some of the aspects of the creation story a little bit more uniquely. But in Genesis chapter 1, we find that the Lord, God Almighty, was the creator of the heavens and the earth. And initially, the earth was non-existent. God called everything into existence. He called everything into existence out of nothing. He's Creator God. But then in chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And so there was nothing there per se, but God would allow, through this creation story, the replenishing of the earth. He would bring the sun, the moon, the stars. He would allow the earth to bring forth plentifully. He would create animal life and every kind of life that exists. And then in chapter 1, verse 26, he would speak to the Godhead. Now, what's interesting is these words bring out the reality of a Trinity. In chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish,'" and so on and so forth. The scripture brings out that God is self-sufficient. God is God Almighty, and he doesn't need anyone or anything to exist. God always was and always will be. And so because God is who he is self-existent. He doesn't need anyone or anything. Someone brought out an important thought one time that I heard. I think his name was Dr. Ravi Zacharias. But he brought out an important truth, and it was this. Who was God talking to before creation was created? But within the Trinity, there is the reality of conversing one with another. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Amen. But God created man, and God had intention to create man in a way that would be a picture of who he is over his creation, man being the lord over the earth in a way. He would say of man, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. They would have dominion over all of these things. And in many ways, man was created in the very image of God. And what's beautiful is that you and me, as human beings, humankind itself carries within their very nature, within their very person, the image of God. You are distinct and you are different than the animal race or the animal creation. You are different than the beasts of the field. You are not a Lucy. What do you mean, Pastor James? We're told in our public schools that they found a little piece of bone, a piece of jawbone. They go and recreate it into Lucy, a supposed monkey that was transitioning from a monkey form into a human form. You've all heard of Lucy before? And it's amazing how they go and recreate this out of one single jawbone. They don't have the full skeleton, and a lot of that has been put to rest, but they still teach it in our public schools. You were not once a monkey. You were not some other life form. God gave you worth and meaning in your very existence. You are not just another animal. You are a human being. And God has placed within all of us, within humankind, that includes both man and woman, the image of God. You were created in the image of God. And there are a few things I wanted to bring out today that helps us to understand that we were created in the image of God. Contrary to what the Darwinist teaches, contrary to what the evolutionist tells us, we are very important to God and very important in our existence. We are not just an accident. We are not something that is just living, that just lives and dies and ceases to exist. As a human being, you're created as a human being ultimately to live forever. You don't just live and die, you will live forever. But there are a few different things to share with you today that makes you unique in God's creation. Unique in that you were created in the image of God. Number one, if you want to take notes, you can. But one of those is, we are created as spiritual beings. You aren't only a physical body. I think it was C.S. Lewis, if I'm not mistaken, or some other man of God made the statement, you're not a body with a soul, but you're a soul with a body. Did you hear that? Think about it a little bit. You're not a body with a soul, rather you're a soul with a body. Eternity dwells within you. You are a spiritual being, and that spiritual essence of who you are was given to you by God Himself. Look at chapter 2 really quick of Genesis in verse 7. It says this, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." You are a soul with a body. And God has given eternity within you. And every one of us, though we will die a physical death should the Lord tarry, we will live forever. You are an eternal being. And that spiritual essence of who you are was not just created to live forever and forever, as nice as that is going to be, especially for believers. As a believer, you're going to live before God forever and forever and spend eternity with Him. That is an amazing blessing. Amen? That is true eternal bliss. But the reality is that living forever isn't just to live forever. It's ultimately to live with Him. And so your spiritual essence, the fact that you and I are spiritual beings, is ultimately so that we could have fellowship in the Spirit with God Almighty, who is Spirit. God desires you, and God desires me. And because of that, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Because God wanted someone to fellowship with. Secondly, we are personal beings. Even though all of us have eternity within and we are spiritual, we are all personal. There is only one Amos Archuleta. There's not going to be another one. There is only one Jaime Hurtado. No, there's not going to be another one. There's only one Crystal. Only one Maxine. Amen. There's no one else. You are a personal being. You are unique in the sight of God, and God has given you as a person worth. You are important to the very plan of God. Don't ever allow the enemy to lie to you that you are insignificant or you're just a waste of time or a mistake. You are not. You are very important. You are crucial to God. You are a personal being. He's given you personality. He's given you personality. It's interesting that even in my own home, of my own three children, they're all three unique individuals. What one thinks is serious, the other one might think is a joke, but they're still unique and personal. Amen? There is not a one person that is identical, and I'm not even talking about identical twins. I mean, they can have a lot of similarities, but they will still be unique in desire and in longings and in what have you. You and I, as personal beings, are given by God a uniqueness that is to be between Him, God and us, and between us and the world. No one else can take your place. Amen. You are special. I'm not meaning special in that you need help. I mean special in that you are unique and a beautiful person, and you are important. Amen. Everyone is important in the very plan of God. Thirdly, the image of God in you and me is that not only are we spiritual beings and personal beings, we are moral beings. God has given you and me morals. Within you and me, before the world lays hold on and tries to erase it, before the enemy tries to tell you that everything is okay, before the world tries to wipe that out of man, God has given you and me a moral compass within. There is something within the heart of man. I don't care where that individual lives, if they were raised in a Christian home or not, if they live here in the United States or some other area of the world. There is something within humanity that tells them there is a right and there is a wrong. Morality. That there is right and that there is wrong. Now notice I said earlier, before the world tries to wipe that out. You see, we're living in a day and an age where we're being told that everything goes. Everything is allowable. You can do whatever you want. Your right is your right. Your wrong is your wrong. It really doesn't matter. There is no morals. They're trying to create within the world today an amoral society. An amoral society is a society that doesn't have any morals. Anything goes. Whatever you want to do, do it. If it feels good, do it. There's no such thing as sin. There's no such thing as right or wrong. Do it however you want. That's the mentality that has put religion and has put Christianity into a segment of society that says, don't get along. Don't do what they do. They're just weirdos that believe that there is right and that there is wrong. And sadly, most of the world out there will allow every other religion, but they'll be very, very hateful towards you as a Christian. Amen? I don't mean to bring this up, but it's in my mind to say it, so let me say it. There was a circus that has been going on in the news and everything with the election or of the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. We've seen this in the news. If you haven't seen it, I would be surprised. It's just everywhere. Should he be a Supreme Court justice or not? But what you're seeing in the circus that is prominent and in the world today, especially coming from the liberal camp, is they're coming headstrong against a conservative justice. Because if you get conservative justices, they will overturn the laws that have made allowance for a lot of liberties that are actually immoral. Well, what are you saying, Pastor James? You have them saying, well, what happens to women's rights? Now, I believe women should have rights. But I don't believe it's the right of a woman to murder their children in their womb. Do you hear what I'm saying? No, but the LGBTQ society, they need rights. Do they need rights? Well, yes, they need rights. They're human beings. They are citizens in America, right? But does it mean an allowance of their lifestyle to make them at the same level of a heterosexual couple? Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we see this war, and it's prominently in our eyes today. It's because there is a move towards an amoral society. They don't want there to be morals anymore. And so those that are for openness and anything goes look at someone that is conservative as a threat, and they'll do anything that they do can to stop it. Do you all hear that? If it continues down that road, thank God we got a conservative justice, whatever else with all that's between you and the Lord. Amen? But if it was to continue down that road of amorality, the intention of that world towards you and me as a Christian would be more and more hostile. And so thank God for what he's doing and for the fact that we can believe that God can still change things in our country. Amen? Amen. You are a moral person and God has given you a moral compass. Before we were influenced by the world and we began to make excuses for our sin, we knew right and wrong. Before mother told that young child, don't steal that cookie out of the cookie jar, that little child did all that he or she could to get it without being seen. Why were they trying to hide in the way that they were? It's because they knew it was not right. It was wrong. Amen? Our conscience is a very powerful thing. But when you were born again by the Spirit of God, that moral compass took on a sensitivity that now you will never be comfortable in your sin again. I mean, we can begin to numb it by giving ourselves over to sin and sinful lifestyles and living. We can numb it. But if you stay sensitive to God, you will never be the same in regards to morals. Amen? Praise the Lord. You are a moral being. All humanity is. You see, it's easy to say, oh no, but Darwinism is true. We're just an accident. We just exist. We just exist. We die. We cease to exist. So therefore, if God doesn't exist and there is no right and wrong, then I could live my life however I want to. I can do whatever I want with it. There's no consequence for my sinful lifestyle. And yet, the reality is they will still die. You see, the reality that sin is in the world is that there is death. Not only are we spiritual beings, personal beings, and moral beings, we are relational beings. Relational beings. The image of God in man has brought within you and me a desire to have relationships with one another. Amen. Relationships. We like to have friends. There are some people that are seemingly antisocial. Even the antisocial like to have friends. Amen? They may lock themselves up in the room, but if you were to look at their Facebook account, you'd see all kinds of friends. Why do these social platforms and social apps, why are they so popular in our world today? It's because we want to have relationships. Amen? God created us in his image, you see, because we desire relationships, God desires it. And God is relational. He wants to get close to you and to me. He wants to walk with us as friend with friend. The Trinity itself is relational. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Like I said before with Dr. Ravi Zacharias, who was God talking to before the creation? Before, you see, even the angelic host was a creation. Before there were angels, before there was humanity, who was God talking to? Well, God is Trinity. Amen? He's relational. But in that likeness, he transferred that to you and me. And God desires relationship with man. When he created Adam and Eve, he found it a joyful thing to spend time with Adam in the cool of the day. You can read the story in chapter 2. It says that he began to say, it's not good for man to be alone. Why is that? Because in man, he desires relationship. Was Adam talking to God and saying, I want someone to hang around with? Because the Bible says Adam took notice of the rest of the animal creation. He saw the bull with the cow. He saw the buck with the doe. He saw all of the animal creation with a partner. And the Bible says he brought them all to Adam. Adam named them all. And in that, I can only imagine, as I've said before, what kind of conversations were happening between Adam and God. As God brought them and Adam named them, I mean, I can talk about a lot of things about animals. How about you? And that was relationship between Adam and God. And then God said, I'm going to give him one that is made just for him, right? Took out that rib, fashioned the woman. And the Bible says that Adam was pleased with the woman, right? Someone said that when he saw her, he said, whoa, man, right? We are spiritual beings, personal beings, moral beings, relational beings, ultimately to be brought into a relationship with God and with one another. That's why we fellowship with one another. That's why the church needs the church. That's why the husband needs the wife. That's why we need brothers and sisters. That's why we need friends and fellowship. We are relational beings. Another one is that we are emotional beings. Emotional beings. Emotions. We were made in the likeness of God, who himself is love. Love. God is love. Emotional beings. God hates sin. Emotional. Emotions. And in order to have true love, God made man with emotions to give back to God our love. And God desires that from you and from me, but he will never force it. He won't make it happen. He wants us to willingly give our love to him. Amen? Just like we give our love to our husband, our wife, within the marriage circle. Amen? When we give our love to our children, our love to our family, love to humanity, God is love. And God made us emotional, an emotional being just like he is. Amen? And then lastly, God created us in his image in that we are creative beings. Our God is creator. Amen? God created things out of nothing. Call those things into existence. You are creative. Amen? God has given us the ability to create. The only difference between us and God is that we create out of what is. God can create out of nothing. Amen? Amen. I mean, before someone created this pew, we had to create it out of wood and material and so on and so forth, right? You can't just say, pew, come into existence. It just doesn't happen, but God can do that. Amen? But we were created in the image of God. But all of that image of God was meant for fellowship with himself. It's meant to share among ourselves, to be human, to love, to create, to be moral, and so on and so forth. To put like on a Facebook page. Amen? To say, I like you, and it feels good to be liked. No one likes to be bullied or hated. Amen? And that's why the church needs to be the place where someone can find the place where love is. Amen. But all of that that we share in the likeness of God is ultimately meant to be shared with God who created us. God made us spiritual so we can be with him forever. He's made us personal because he loves me. He loves you. Amen? He's made us moral so that we can walk in righteousness and holiness as he is. God is holy. He's made us relational so that we can be in relationship with him. Rational. Rational to be able to think. so that we can have knowledge, even though it's limited. God is a rational being, so are we. Amen? So that we can think about Him. Emotional, so that we can love Him. And then creative, so that we can be creative in our relationship with Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Some of us have talents. Write a song for Him. Amen? Creative for Him. Use our artistic talents to do art for Him. Whatever. It's all for Him. Amen? Let's stand.